You are listening to the Retirement Wisdom Podcast, focusing on the changing nature of retirement today and the non-financial aspects of a successful retirement transition. Join host Joe Casey and learn from leading experts in the field and the stories of people who created interesting second acts as they share practical ideas and tips to create your own. Check out our website at retirementwisdom.com, where you can download our newsletter and other resources to learn more about how coaching can help you. The best way to support this podcast is to head over to Apple Podcasts and post a rating and a comment. It's easy and it's free. Join our conversations and get wiser about your retirement.
Welcome to the Retirement Wisdom Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Casey, and I'll be joined shortly by frequent co-host Dennis Wissman. One of our recurring topics on the podcast is encore careers. That is, what will you do for a second act after your primary career comes to an end? How will you reinvent yourself? Our guest today reminds us that reinvention is important, but it's not the whole story. You also have to think about, how will you rebrand yourself? Wendy Marks is the author of Thriving at 50 Plus, The 7 Principles to Reinvent and Rebrand Yourself. Wendy is a marketing and branding authority who has turned virtually unknown people into icons through her PR and marketing agency. Now, as a published author, she's using her branding knowledge to show how people at age 50 plus can reinvent themselves and find more meaning and purpose. A baby boomer with multiple reinventions, holding MSW, MS, and MBA degrees, she knows a career journey isn't set or over just because someone reaches a certain age or point in life. Passionate about people's ability to slide upwards, not downwards, to the finish line, she's also an avid tennis player who, as she says, works hard at being mediocre. She's a caregiver to the love of her life and a theater and art enthusiast. Wendy, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here, Joe. Thanks so much for having me.
So what are the biggest challenges that people who are over 50 face today in creating a thriving life?
People who are over 50, Joe, are really in a unique position because they have so much talent, skills, experience, and yet they're not always appreciated. Instead, there's so many stereotypes, unfortunately, that go along with being 50 and over. One is that people think that you're a technology moron or that you just won't be able to keep up with younger workers. And all the wisdom, the talents, and skills that older workers have are not always, unfortunately, appreciated. There was a recent post on LinkedIn where some 7,000 people were polled, and 93% of the people who answered the poll said that they had experienced to some degree ageism during the hiring process. Unfortunately, it's real, and I'm sure as we go through our conversation today, we can talk about ways to deal with that. But that's really the key challenge that people 50 and over are coping with.
It was very interesting to read about how your book, Thriving at 50 Plus, came about. So could you share with us, how did it happen?
Yes, I'd be happy to do that. It was kind of serendipitous. I had commented on LinkedIn on a post that a professor at Georgetown University had written. And he, in turn, reached out to me and told me that he was starting a book writing group. And if I knew of any recent college graduates who I thought might be appropriate for it. I did not. However, I asked him if he would consider a, quote, mature student. And the next thing I knew, I was talking with the professor and became part of his book writing program. And the great thing about it is that it gave me the impetus and the structure that I needed to write my book.
So in your book, you outline 7 principles to reinvent and rebrand. What does it take to reinvent yourself in a mid-career or in a second career context?
It's important to realize that you don't reinvent yourself by snapping your fingers and going, I'm going to reinvent. It's actually a time-consuming process, and you can zig and zag. It's not just a straight upward trajectory. And as part of my book, or in the process of writing my book, I interviewed many, many people who had successfully reinvented and rebranded themselves. And based on that, I developed a framework that I call my 7 principles. And that includes everything from having a growth mindset to being uncomfortable, a willingness to learn, finding your purpose, storytelling, personal branding, and social media and mentoring. And by following those steps, you can truly have a successful reinvention and rebranding.
So you mentioned mindset and the growth mindset in particular. What are some of the ways that people can cultivate the mindsets and attitudes that you need for reinvention?
In the book, I distinguish between a growth mindset and a fixed mindset. And that's really attributable to a psychologist, Carol Dweck, who has popularized that terminology. And what Carol Dweck found in her research is that people who have a fixed mindset are stuck in their ways. They don't envision that they can change or grow, and they think that the qualities, the talents that they have are limited. What they have is what they are. On the other hand, somebody with a growth mindset is willing to grow and change. They don't feel locked in a shell, but they're willing to step outside, to try new things, and most importantly, they're willing to fail. Because as part of reinvention and growth, you have to be willing to make mistakes, recognize that you fail, but continue to move on, to learn from those failures, and just continue one step after another so that you're progressing forward.
Wendy, what would you recommend for people, especially obviously we're talking about people 50 and over here, that they don't even realize that they don't have this ability to think out of the box, so to speak, or continue to learn? They need to break free of that fixed mindset. What kind of suggestions would you have for people to even just get started to experiment with this a little bit so they can see what's possible for them?
That's a really good question. And a few things come to mind. One is that if you're stuck like that, it's often helpful, and I actually did this myself, to hire a coach, somebody who can, I like to say, give you a swift kick on the behind so that you're able to start shaking yourself up a little bit and making some changes. If you don't want to hire a coach, another thing is to be part of a support group where you're with other people who are contending with some of the same challenges you are, and you can mutually help each other. Also, doing some volunteer work. Oftentimes, you start doing something and that ends up changing you. What psychologists and researchers have found is that just sitting on the couch and musing about your life and ruminating and wondering, what can I do? What did I do wrong? Doesn't get you anywhere. You need to take action. And by doing some volunteer work, maybe taking a course, that's upsetting the apple cart a little bit, shaking you up and giving you some new perspective.
So getting out of yourself and into other things, and being more, you mentioned some the external support. They're all external touch points. So I think that's wonderful advice. Thank you.
So Wendy, let's talk about purpose for a minute, also a topic you cover in your book. How have you found that people find a new purpose?
You don't find your purpose overnight. It's the same thing as reinvention. You don't suddenly wake up one morning and say, "Eureka, I found my purpose." It's something that takes time. You also don't want to confuse your purpose with your job. The two are not the same. Your purpose is something that you just can't help doing. It's your essence, who you are. And I love a quote from Franciscan priest and author Richard Rohr. And what he wrote was that the first half of life is discovering the script, and the second half is actually writing it and owning it. And what he means is that it's going to take you time. You're not necessarily early in your career going to know what your purpose is. You're going to try on different roles. And even after you think you found it, you may want to mix it up. Your purpose, I like to think of, is your North Star. It guides you. It grounds you. It gives you a reason to get up each morning, and you know where you're going, which doesn't mean that you can't change it, tweak it as you move forward, but you have a baseline, so a framework.
I really appreciate you bringing up Richard Rohr. Highly recommend the book you're referencing, Falling Upward. He just has so much wisdom that he imparts in terms of this phase of life. And he talks about these stumbling stones and other things getting our way. Very insightful, very, very useful book. So thank you for your reference there. And a big point in your book is that as you reinvent, you also need to rebrand. So as a marketing novice, I'll ask this question: what's a personal brand and why is it so important today for those of us who are 50 plus?
Personal branding sometimes gets a bad rap or it's misconstrued. People think that it's pounding your chest and saying, oh, aren't I terrific, when it's anything but that. It's establishing your value and making that clear to people and packaging yourself in a way that makes people want to engage with you, get to know you and your work. And personal branding, especially people 50 plus, we're not necessarily used to self-promotion, which is as natural as breathing, I think, to millennials. So it's something that necessarily doesn't come easily to us, but it's a necessary skill because today, unless you're promoting yourself, people are not necessarily going to find you. Just like with your show, you need to be telling people about it. They're not going to magically come to your podcast. And it's the same thing with your own brand. You need to get the word out, be it on social media, content you create, how you position and talk about yourself. And all of that is to give you an identity, particularly an identity online, which is where today so much of the action occurs.
Wendy, can you talk a little bit about, you mentioned storytelling earlier on. Why is that so important? And how does it help people really tell, you know, create their own brand? How does storytelling fit into the equation?
Storytelling is a powerful tool if it's done correctly. It's another way of getting people to engage with you. If you simply reel off some facts, most of the time the facts are not interesting. So you graduated the next year or what have you. But if you weave together your life story into a story that has a natural arc to it, people are going to want to engage with you. That's why we love to read books. We love to read, or especially nonfiction books that are written more like fiction. We love movies because they all have a natural story arc. And in this case, you're the hero of your story. And you want to make sure that what you've been coheres with where you are and where you're going. There's nothing worse than an incoherent story. So you want to tie together who you were, where you are now, to what you're going to be. And then people can appreciate what you've had to overcome to get to where you're going now.
I imagine it can help people who are introverts by nature, perhaps. It's easier to talk if they can tell their story. I like the phrase you use, you're your own hero in your story. It might make them easier to communicate those things to people. Because I imagine a lot of people are introverted and struggle with talking about themselves.
Yes, and the story makes it the person's life history much more accessible, believable, credible. And it gives people a reason to want to know more about you. And it's something that you can practice. I recommend that people have some stories at the ready that they can share. It's not something that you have to do off the cuff. We're all familiar with that elevator pitch or when you go to a networking event and people will say, well, tell me about you. Well, you tell about yourself in a story.
One of my favorite books about storytelling is actually a basketball book. I grew up in the Boston area and from a young age watched the Boston Celtics, still do. But the book is about John Feinstein, the sports writer in D.C. It's about Red Auerbach, the former president of Celtics coach, who in his later years, because he was from D.C. and from Brooklyn originally, but lived in D.C. for many years, including all the years he coached Celtics, he would convene a mixed group of people at a Chinese restaurant every Wednesday, I think it was, basically to tell a story. And the book is called Let Me Tell You a Story. And it's just a great collection of stories from this diverse group of people that he got together once a week. And you have a great collection of stories in your book. Now, I'm wondering if you could share one or two of your favorite stories about reinvention and rebranding.
Sure. I have quite a few, but I'll share one or two. One is an Australian gentleman that I talk about in my book by the name of Keith Keller. And Keith had been working at a call center. And not only did he dislike this job, he loathed it. And part of the problem with the job is that he had to be taking calls at the same time he was transcribing the previous call. And he just couldn't do those two things at once. And what I love about this story is that Keith turned this, what could have been a disability, not being able to do two things at once, into a life hack that truly transformed his life. And he subsequently became a career counselor. He segued from there into doing a radio show. Today he live streams a show and also turned himself into a Twitter expert. But again, he focused on doing one thing at a time. He wasn't doing all these things at once. And he's now a bonanza on Twitter and has a huge following. And he is just a testament to the fact that you can turn your life around. And another story I'll share with you is a woman named Rita G. She didn't want me to use her full name. And for 30 years, she worked as a university counselor. She loved her job. She got a lot of pleasure from it. And it also represented who she was. And after 30-some years, she lost her job. She was devastated because this is who she was, how she introduced herself to people. And suddenly, she had or felt like she didn't have anything. And she told me that one way she helped herself was that initially, she was afraid and embarrassed to say she had been let go. But gradually, she was able to turn her story into something a little more positive. Even if she didn't feel so positive, she was able to explain it in a way that made her feel better and the listeners feel better. And gradually, she started volunteering. She picked up a part-time job. And she actually started feeling the way she was talking. So she was feeling more positive. And what was really lovely to hear in terms of her story was that she's quite a cerebral person. And for the first time, she did something that was really creative. She took a watercolor course. And she said she never would have done that before. But as a result of all this change, she was able to tap into a different part of herself. So it's a powerful story, and it shows how in reinventing ourselves, we're opening ourselves up to new things and finding pieces of ourselves that we might not have realized even existed.
And Wendy, what's your personal story of how you've reinvented and rebranded yourself?
I say that I'm the poster child for both reinvention and rebranding. I have 3 master's degrees, and I like to joke that I could sell them on the black market. I have a social work degree, a journalism degree, and an MBA. And What I have found during the course of my long career is that each of these areas that I've been in, and I've worked in all the areas that I have degrees in, they were able to serve as stepping stones to the next career. So, for example, after I worked as a social worker in a major geriatric facility, I went to journalism school and actually was paid to write my master's thesis on housing problems of poor elderly in New York City. And my thesis was published, and I got a fellowship to do this. And that, in part, was based on my knowledge of older people, based on my social work skills. And today, in my reinvention and rebranding coaching service, I'm pulling everything from all my different careers and backgrounds. So I offer what I consider psychological savvy. I offer PR and marketing skills, writing abilities, branding, and am able to bring a wealth of skills and talents to my clients as opposed to just having a one-dimensional approach.
Is there anything specific, Wendy, that you did to rebrand yourself? As you were going through, I love that analogy of the stepping stones. Was there anything intentional, specific that you were doing at the time?
One thing that I did, for example, really in the process now of doing some rebranding, because I only recently, I guess it's now been about a year, started my coaching and reinvention business. And one area that I've worked on, and I advise other people to do the same thing, is I've been blogging about my own process. I've been doing some videos, and before, I have to confess, I was a videophobe, but I'm now starting to even enjoy doing videos. So that, and in the videos, I talk about my own process of reinvention and renewal. And creating content is a great way to start positioning yourself as an expert in an area. You don't have to be a full-blown expert as long as you know a little more than the next person. People start seeing you as an expert. So that's currently what I'm doing. I did that for years in the PR and marketing business and truly became known as a B2B marketing expert because of all the content and also, of course, the work that I did. So that's one way that I found has been very useful. Also being active on social media. In my space, I find LinkedIn is tremendously helpful.
So Wendy, I was wondering if I could ask you one last question. What's your advice for someone listening who's over 50 and wants to reinvent his or herself?
One is not to go it alone, as I mentioned before. Join a support group or create your own support group among your friends, or colleagues, or mentors. The other thing, as I also mentioned, is to hire a coach. And it's so useful to have an outside perspective, somebody to support you, to let you know you're not alone, somebody has your back and will help guide you, because it can be, as I've indicated, challenging. Also, don't take on the world at once. Start small. I'm a big advocate of taking baby steps, but moving forward. You're not on a treadmill staying in one place. And as I also indicated, don't think that you just sit on your couch and say you're going to be doing all of this. It's really important for your mental health and also for your growth to act. And in acting, you'll discover what's important to you. People often think that insight leads to action when it's the reverse. Action leads to insight. I also want to put in a little plug, Joe, if you don't mind, for my upcoming LinkedIn Live show called Renewal at 50 Plus. I'm excited about this because I'm going to be doing the show twice a month. One time interviewing a guest. The second time I'm going to be doing something interactive, such as a personal brand makeover with somebody in the audience. And the purpose of the show is to help people 50 plus, especially those needing or wanting to work, to truly live their best life. To find out more about this, I'll give you a link for you to add to your show notes, but I'm also going to say it here, my LinkedIn, and please follow me so you'll learn about the show, is linkedin.com/Wendy with a Y, A as an apple, Marks, M-A-R-X. I'm also offering something very special to your listeners. For the first 5 people that email me, and Joe will also put this in the show notes, and I'll also give you here my email address, I'm offering a free personal branding consult to the first 5 people who email me within a week of the podcast airing. And my email is Wendy with a Y at thriving50plus.com.
Great. Thanks so much, Wendy. And thank you so much for taking the time to share all this information with us and your perspective today.
One last thing. I am hoping people will want some additional tips and inspiration and insights. And I will give you, Joe, a link to my newsletter for people to sign up to add to your show notes, or people can just go to my website, thriving50plus.com. And if you scroll down on the homepage, you'll see a sign up for my newsletter, and would love you to join me in that.
Great. Thanks so much, Wendy. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Wendy.
Oh, I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
We appreciate Wendy Marks joining us today to talk about personal branding. And Dennis, what jumped out to you from our conversation with Wendy?
Yeah, it's a very interesting topic, reinventing and rebranding ourselves, especially for people age 50 and over. She outlined those 7 principles to reinvent and rebrand. And she mentioned that this was not a linear process, that it had a lot of zigs and zags. There's a lot of learning that goes on through the process. There's a lot of reflection and insights I'm sure people get from doing this. And that you really need to be intentional about this because it's very time consuming. Like anything good, you got to make an investment in it, an investment in time and an investment in yourself. The second thing, I was drawn to the importance that she mentioned of storytelling. So I was drawn to that. And she mentioned that it allows you, I like the phrase, it allows you to be, that you are the hero of your own story is basically what she said. So it makes it a little bit easier for you to talk about yourself in that context. And she mentioned make it coherent, and it allows you to tell who you are, you know, where you are now and where you're going. And when you really think about that, you can tie those things together in a way to talk to people about yourself. So practice the storytelling. I think she emphasized that. Practice it, try it, refine it. It is a powerful way to not only help you talk easier about yourself, but make others aware of who you are. And the last thing, when she was talking about her reinventing herself and rebranding herself, her own story, she mentioned the different degrees she had, but she used parts of her career, and they were stepping stones throughout her entire career. And my takeaway from that was that's powerful for people who are 50 and over, because they can look back at those times and they can reflect on where they've been to help them move forward. And they can pull from those areas. They can pull them forward into the next part of their life. They don't just leave them there, but they can use them. And the second point is, for people who are younger, this is as powerful too, to remind them the importance of building stepping stones throughout their life. These are very good points, and I like the stepping stones analogy, obviously. Those were mine. Joe, what about yourself?
I'd highlight 3 things. The first is her bringing up Carol Dweck at Stanford's Growth versus Fixed Mindset. I think that's important work. And I see it in the work I do in coaching people who are transitioning into retirement or second career, because it really gives them a chance to question some of their assumptions. The ones I see are people who think, I'm a finished product. You can't teach old dogs new tricks, which is insulting to dogs, by the way. But they really believe that. They really think, well, my learning days were done. I took care of that when I was in school. And they're missing the whole next chapter where our learning continues as we learned from Dr. Koller in one of her recent episodes that neuroplasticity gives us the ability to keep learning and growing until we no longer exist. So that was the first one. Secondly, I was intrigued by her comments about we learn a lot by doing. So to focus on activity, getting involved, start small. She mentioned volunteering and a couple of other options, but I think there are many ways to start to explore and experiment with things that you're interested in. And I thought that was really actionable. And the last one, of course, is don't go it alone. She talked about how working with others, whether it's a coach, people like us, or a support group, getting some additional perspectives can be hugely helpful. And I find it can help you get to where you're looking to go a lot faster. Thank you for listening to the Retirement Wisdom Podcast. Our goal is to help people retire smarter by balancing their planning for retirement with the question of how will you invest your time? Because that actually may turn out to be your most valuable asset of all as you move into this phase of life.
Thank you for joining us today on the Retirement Wisdom Podcast. You can listen to all episodes of our podcast by subscribing to them on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher, or on our website at retirementwisdom.com.